We open with hymn number 160. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? All those who ridicule me, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head. They say, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who has caused thy beloved Son to take our nature upon himself, that he might give all mankind the example of humility, and suffer death upon the cross for our sins, mercifully grant us a believing knowledge of this, and that following the example of his patience, we may be made partakers of the benefits of his sacred passion and death. Through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this Palm Sunday is found in the 9th chapter of Zechariah, the 8th through the 12th verse. I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by and him who returns. No more shall an oppressor pass through them, for now I have seen with my eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. The epistle lesson is found in the 2nd chapter of Philippians, the 5th through the 11th verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the epistle. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. The Holy Gospel is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. When the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 162. Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Here ends our text. ABC. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, in past ages, the coming of a great king is often foretold by a prophecy of his coming. Of course, if you look at the history of the nations, most of these prophecies are written long after the king is crowned, sometimes long after he's already dead. But in the scriptures, there are a number of true prophecies given well before the king comes. Daniel foretold many kings, not by name, but by their kingdom, as the empires of Babylon and Persia, Greece, Rome, and finally the Antichrist were foretold one after the other. Isaiah foretold the coming of King Cyrus by name 150 years before he was born. Long before the end of King Saul's reign, David was handpicked by God as a man after his own heart, and he was anointed to be king. But without doubt, the most extensive prophecies in the scripture are for the coming of David's son, a great and mighty king who would reign forever. The first prophecies of this king, the Christ, are given long before David. Adam and Eve knew him as a savior, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the promised seed who would bless every nation by his sacrifice. His office then was first revealed as priest to the patriarchs, then later as a prophet to Moses, who prophesied that one would come like him, and finally as king, as the eternal king, the son of David, who would sit upon the throne forever. These words spoken out of time stretch back from the time of our first parents until the coming of the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist, the son of another Zechariah. And the Jews knew these prophecies by heart. When the wise men came from the east to inquire of him who is born king of the Jews, the chief priests and the rulers of Jerusalem told Herod exactly where the king was to be born, in Bethlehem. They knew what the word of God said. Later in his ministry, it became well known that Jesus was from Nazareth, and so many presumed that he had been born there. And because of this, they sometimes used this as a reason to dismiss Jesus, saying he can't be the Christ because he's from Nazareth, which only shows that the people knew the scriptures and the prophecies concerning Christ. And everywhere Jesus went, he was called the Son of David, for the Jews knew that Christ was the man whom God had promised would sit on David's throne forever. The early writings of the Jews, which survived the period between the Old and the New Testaments, also show us that the Jews carefully studied the many prophecies of Christ. And they struggled with the apparent contradictions, which made them difficult to reconcile with one another. Some prophecies in the Old Testament described a conquering Messiah. Some, a Messiah who came preaching judgment and peace. Some, a heavenly Messiah who was to be worshipped as God. And some, the suffering Messiah who atoned for the sins of the world. Nathan prophesied that Christ would reign forever, even as Daniel prophesied that Christ would die. All of this seemed quite the paradox to the Jews, but the important point is that they actually knew the words of the prophets. When we come to this wonderful day of Palm Sunday, the people who praised Jesus in the streets and laid down their garments to pave his way, as well as the aristocratic temple rulers, who were angry at these cries of the people proclaiming Jesus to be the son of David, giving him the accolade of Hosanna, which was due a king. Save us, we beseech thee. They all understood what it meant for Jesus to enter Jerusalem as he did. Had not the prophet Zechariah clearly foretold that the Christ who would come bringing righteousness and salvation to Israel would come riding upon a donkey, namely a colt, the foal of a donkey? Therefore, of all the strange things that happened on that day, no one seemed at odd to think it odd that Jesus would ride into town in such on such a humble beast. Surely Jesus' own disciples must have understood the significance of the event. The fervor of the crowd was surely intoxicating. Jesus was literally fulfilling the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ, quite literally. He entered Jerusalem as the mighty king, and yet lowly, sitting on a donkey. But however much the people read the scriptures and recognized the significance of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey with hosannas to the Son of David, they did not read the prophecies very well. Instead of believing that all that the prophets had written must come to pass in Jesus, they picked and chose what they wanted to believe, easy to believe, in a glorious Messiah, one whom they could praise despite the appearances. Not so easy to believe in one who came only to die. In the words of the prophets, all of the various pictures of Christ come together in one. Because here he comes, the mighty king, mighty to save us, but lowly, in deep humility, riding on the most common of beasts. It is in this lowliness that the prophet describes the rest of the work of Christ. He will bring peace, and his kingdom would extend to the end of the world. And the means by which he would do this is the blood of the covenant. This mighty kingdom would then be populated by those who are set free by this blood, all of their hopes having been fulfilled. And so when we read the prophecy of Zechariah and we see Jesus riding on a donkey, we cannot but join to it Jesus' own prophecy concerning himself just a few days before. He says to his disciples, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. He will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." Jesus knew the prophets well also. He knew them from his own study of the scriptures and from the witness of his Father in heaven, what things that he must endure. With the accolades and hosannas must come the shedding of his blood. But just as the disciples could make no sense of Jesus' words, for the saying was hidden from them, so to those now who looked on as Jesus came into the city and cried out to their king, had forgotten the rest of Zechariah's words about the blood which must set them free. The only blood any of them could now imagine was the blood of their enemies, but the only blood that could set the prisoners free was the blood of sacrifice, the covenant blood, just like the blood of the Passover lamb and of the many beasts which were slain upon the altar in the temple. But all that blood did no good, for it was shed for generations, and still the people were not free. The blood of sacrifice which the king must shed must be much greater, something that would free not only Jerusalem, but all people to the ends of the earth. That's the past, the prophecies. Now we have the present, the fulfillment, as Jesus comes to shed his blood for the sins of the world. When the coming of Christ and the salvation of Israel remained a prophecy, it was easy to believe all sorts of mystical and romantic notions of his grand and glorious kingdom. But God does not give prophecies just to be mystical and romantic. His word is truth, and his truth is concrete truth. Zechariah didn't mean a figurative donkey. He didn't even mean a figurative kingdom when he wrote of Christ. He meant a real donkey and a real lowly king and a real everlasting kingdom. And so also he meant not some symbolic covenant blood, but the real blood that actually does set the prisoners free, unlike the blood of the beasts that were slain upon the altar in the temple. The blood of the Son of God had the power to end the reign of sin, death, and the devil. And for the blood of Christ to deliver, his blood must be shed. On the day of Palm Sunday, when Christ Jesus was rightly proclaimed to be the Savior by the very people who should know the best, his lowly appearance was also not just a symbolic gesture. Jesus was not like a ruler today who puts on a pious show to show his people how humble that he is. Jesus truly came into Jerusalem as one lowly. Our epistle lesson bids you and I to have the same mind as Jesus. He, the man Jesus, who was born as all men are born, was in the form of God, with all of God's divine power and might. If anyone had the right to reign in glory, it was Jesus. And yet in the body of a man, he lived as an obedient son of the law. Not as is fitting for the mighty God, surely. He did not have a royal entourage, but unremarkable fishermen or even a despised tax collector. He did not come demanding service from the people of Israel, as any king normally would. He came in the form of a servant, that he might serve his own people, and he did not destroy his enemies with his mighty power, but he made himself obedient unto death and allowed them to destroy him, even the death of the cross. The mighty God was obedient to the most shameful death. There is no greater humility than this. The people on that day did not know that they were praising the king who was entering Jerusalem to forfeit his own life. For even Jesus' own disciples did not know it. Yet their praise was still just and right. For only if Jesus came as such a lowly king could he really be the one who could receive such hosannas. Because if it means save us, O Lord, we beseech thee, what good would it do for him to save them merely from an earthly kingdom? He was going to be a true savior to this people. Their hosannas this time really had meaning. Let us then have this same mind as Jesus Christ, as we are bidden by our brother Paul. First, let us hear his word, and not mix it with our own human notions of what is holy and fitting for God to do. Jesus himself chose to be lowly so that he might forgive all our sins. God chooses the means by which we are saved. We can't choose that ourselves. The Father has appointed his Son as the Lamb who must be slain for the sins of the world. And if Jesus must submit to the will of the Father, then we should cease every attempt to find salvation anywhere else but through the body and blood of his Son. Jesus made himself the kind of king that he is, with a kingdom that is not of this world. Therefore, let us have the same mind and not count our citizenship or our treasure as anywhere else but in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself chose the path of the cross as the place where his glory would shine forth among men until the last day when he comes in majesty, and that therefore let us have this same mind and not seek God's glory in any other place than in the cross of his Son. And as Jesus himself submitted to the suffering and death of the cross, let us have the same mind. and not think that in this life we shall escape our own crosses. And Jesus, in his humility, continues to serve us his own sacrifice, his body and blood, which atoned for our sins. And therefore, let us have the same mind and serve one another with the same love in which Christ has loved us. And with the mind of Christ, let us receive him gladly as he enters Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. And lift our voices in true and fitting praise for this King. We have been blessed through his Holy Spirit with the knowledge of his person and work. We know that as he rides on in majesty, he rides on to die, to bow his head to mortal pain. Our errors about his office have been corrected by the clear witness of his word. We have seen him as our lowly Savior, and we now know him as our eternal King. And we look in hope to the day when our glad hosannas will praise him when he comes in all of his glory to reign among his people in majesty forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O God, Heavenly Father, into thy presence we come with thanksgiving and joy. In this holy hour we thank and praise thee that thou didst send to us thy Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnate and living Word, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Grant that we might find in him the source of every blessing and the only way by which we might come unto thee. Grant that as we look unto him, we may by his example be neither weary in well-doing, nor faint in heart, nor murmuring when we are chastened and corrected, nor despairing of thy mercy, but that as we partake of his sufferings, we may also partake of his resurrection. Save us not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but by the wounds and stripes of thy Son, who was offered to bear the sins of many. In thy word and sacraments, pour upon us the grace whereby we are saved, that we might ever find in him the water of life which cleanses us from all unrighteousness and grants us strength to live lives which are abundant in good works, the fruits of a living faith. To that end, put thy law into our minds and write it into our hearts. Put the song of salvation and praise into our souls, that with joy we may declare, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Let thy church gather from far and near into the Zion of faith all who will be saved. Send forth laborers to preach thy word in truth, and to show forth the name of Jesus as the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Grant to this congregation and to all who worship here strength of purpose in thy holy service, that they may seek with willing minds and pure hearts the building and strengthening of thy kingdom. We pray for all who are in sickness, pain, anxiety, fear of death, or sorrow. Be with them when they pass through the waters of trouble. Let them trust in thee, for thou wilt deliver them. We especially pray for Linda Dears, who continues to bear the weakness of her flesh, that you would be with her and comfort her in her weakness, and give her the strength of spirit, knowing that her salvation is firm and sure in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Now unto thee, O God, who art able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of thy glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 146. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lamb of God, have taken us away our sin of the world. Have mercy upon us, O Christ, our Lamb of God, and take us away our sin.
meat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 351. Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Good morning.